Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
I being in the way, the Lord led me. It's when you're in the way. It's when you're going for God, when you are going to work for God. It doesn't have to be going out hitting doors. It doesn't have to be going out with a mission to share a tract. It's you're going wherever you go for the Lord. He'll open the doors and you'll see it. And you'll be blessed. And that is the initiation. That's the behind the curtain. It happens a lot when you first get saved. You know, little things, crazy stuff. When a person gets saved, God just gives them a blessing. It's like the colostrum, you know, that first pouring out of the Spirit in your heart when you're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. You now have God on your team, and He just blesses in certain ways.
I'll tell you, there's crazy stuff I can't go into. I don't want to go off with all of the little illustrations of that, but those of you who know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about. The Bible says in verse 7, it says, "And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years." And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, this is an interesting behind-the-scenes picture of what went on in the temple. I was talking last week about the 24 elders, and this is that 24 courses that were set up by David and initiated by Solomon. When the temple was built, they had thousands of priests, and they actually initiated a course where people would from each tribe. And it's interesting that it breaks down in 8 and 6. It's only 6 to one of the sons of Abiathar and Ithamar. I didn't trace it all for you because it's not important for you all, but just know this. There's really neat stuff here. I'm pulling over a rock. If there's something here, I'm going to push the rock back down, okay? I want you to know there's good stuff in the Bible. And when you see these courses and then you trace it all the way to the book of Revelation and you see 24 chairs and sitting around the throne of God, there's millions and millions of people who are going to be in eternity, and we're going to sit in the throne room of God in our course individually. It was the picture that was initiated through God's movements of the Old Testament that we gain the understanding of what's going on in the New. And it is Josephus who gives us a clear picture of where these courses were started. And there's a couple passages where it's referred to. But we understand that 24 courses, and he's in his course. So maybe put a little mark under the word course. You put 24 courses, 24 elders. You can put that under there, right? Think about it, because that's going to be our lot, because God has made us a kingdom of priests unto our God. The priests had courses. We're going to be there. And go back and read chapter 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation. The Bible says, "It came to pass that while he executed his office before God in the order of his course," verse 9, "according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." Now notice it says lot. What they would do is they would pick various names of the 24 that were picked, and whoever got whatever, they did that part, okay? Now if you know about the incense from the book of Revelation, you understand that it's declared there that the incense was the prayers of the saints. Okay? There's an altar of incense. It's up there right in front of God's throne. And in the temple, there was this altar of incense right in front of the Holy of Holies. They go into the holy place, and then there's the Holy of Holies. So what you're seeing is that Zacharias is going in as close as he can get to the ark. The only person who could get close to the Ark of the Covenant was the high priest once a year. Nobody went in that room. They went in once a year to offer a Day of Atonement, the blood of the animals for the Day of Atonement for the whole nation. Everybody gathered around. It was a big deal. Once a year. But what we have here is he's getting as close as he can. We've learned a couple things. It's a righteous couple, fastidious in all their way, blameless. They love the Lord. They love the commandments. They love God. But they have no children. You say, well, that's tough, man. Yeah, it is. And he's doing his work at the altar of incense. Now think about that. Why incense? Because the incense would make its way into the holy place behind the curtain. It's right up close. It would go right on in. When Jonah was swallowed up with a great fish, what happened? He said, "I called out to God and my prayers entered right into the throne room of God." Your prayers enter right into the throne room. Here's Zacharias getting this lot, and he's right up close to that curtain. Very holy place. the Holy of Holies. And what do you think he's thinking about? He's thinking about how important it is what he's doing, but he's also thinking about this represents prayer. And I don't know how you go through your day, but I'm always talking to myself and I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm thinking, what's going on? I actually wonder sometimes what people think about when they're behind the wheel of their car going to work in the morning and they're not saved people. Oh, it's all about this and all about that, all about me, all about my, all about the game, all about the hobby or whatever, the sin, the stuff they love and glory in. The Bible says people who are lost many times end up glorying in their shame, right? Well, I glory in the Lord Jesus. And I talk to Him. And sometimes when I'm real close to something that reminds me of something, it makes me talk about that something, right? And when he's up close to that prayer altar, really, what do you think he's thinking? Lord, I don't have any kids. I don't know what I'm going to do with my inheritance. I don't know what's going to go on. We get old. Who's going to take care of us? But I don't have any kids. But I'm okay with that. Do you know real people who love the Lord do get sad sometimes? This world tells you you're never supposed to be sad. No, there's times for you to have sadness. Let the sadness go to the core, and then you start taking that to Jesus. Because you can't really understand your sadness unless you touch it. Go to it and say, God, that's me right there. And you talk to Him because He understands. And He can turn whatever kind of mourning or sorrow into joy. He can do that because that's what He does. There is a balm in Gilead. And God can sow to our hearts things that we could never have conjured in our own minds. These people were barren. They were well stricken in age. And they don't have any prospects now. And for him to even go back and look at an old dusty prayer, God, please give me a son, is almost out of the question. But he's right up close now. Do you know when you get right up close to the Lord, you're going to think about the first thing that means the most to you? Do you remember when Isaiah saw the Lord? First thing he said is, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he was telling me about how his priest that he knew as a child saw him. He's in his 60s now, and the guy's in his 80s. And he swore as he came up to him. I said, he really said that? He said, yeah. He says, man. I was like, wow. And this guy doesn't do church, has no use for it. Doesn't like the whole machinery. And there's a lot of people that are like that today. But that's a problem because, I mean, somebody's swearing at you and he's the minister. That's weird, okay? That's just weird. And the Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, right? So we have to be careful. And you may let one fly once in a while, you know. God's taking care of that, but let's not get into the routine of saying, well, He took care of us, I'll do whatever I want. That's not commandments and ordinance, keeping the, you know, all that in order and being maintaining a blameless disposition. But I say to you, he's there, he's thinking about the number one thing in his mind. And the number one thing in his mind is probably about having had a child and his wife and how it's been pretty quiet around the house and seemed like their day had passed. The Bible says, and while he was in there, burning incense. It says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. I got to tell you, right there is a picture of what worship must have looked like in that day. I mean, I don't know how it works, but these people are praying. We know what he might have been uttering in the corners of his heart, that recess of loss, and God, please help me with that. But what were the people praying for? They're all out there, it's the time of incense. They're under dominion of a Herod, you know, Roman rule, and Herod's their up close and personal magistrate. I thought of things like maybe they were praying, dear God, show yourself. For the Jewish person, that meant something. When God showed up, Pharaoh's army died. Okay, God shows up, things happen that are pretty amazing. They might have been praying something like, help us. You know, a lot of people were poor. And it wasn't like they were on the upswing. They might have prayed something like, Lord, make us to know what you're doing. Make us to know what you're doing. Don't you want to know that? Because when you know that, you can join that. We're in a generation where we say, God bless what we're doing, rather than figure out what God's blessing and following Him. You know, we got to be careful about that. No, he's, well, show us. What were they praying? Probably some stuff like that. They're not there, you know, with this time for no reason. These were the worshipers in the society. You know, there's those people who sigh and cry in the society. And I'm so thankful for people who sigh and cry over what's going on in our world. Some people are oblivious. I marvel at how oblivious people can be to how sinister and insidious things are today. Our generation is a mess. It's literally a mess. That's what made my Thanksgiving such a joy. I have kids, and I have grandkids, and I have a wife, and I have a home, and I live in the greatest country that has ever been set in motion on the face of the earth and in human history. How did that happen? Well, I don't know, but I'm thankful for it, and that's a good thing to be thankful for. And I want you to know that when he's in there, these people are out there, and they were praying outside at the time of incense. And I find it fascinating that some people got it. The Bible says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." Well, okay. Have you ever been praying and if something happened and you're like, you find out that right as it's happening, you miss it completely, but it was an answer to prayer? And I'm telling you guys, listen, it may not happen immediately, it may not happen right when you're praying, but sometimes it does. In fact, sometimes things go sideways if you're going to get ready to pray somebody into the family of God. And you want to talk about weird. I was with a friend of mine once years ago. We were at a person's house. We were trying to share the Lord with this young lady. And her son was just little toddler, little small. And he was like a little urchin there. He was messing everything up. He was running block on everything we were trying to accomplish there. And at one point he ran over and he hit the stereo power button. And it came on and it was screaming out hard metal rock. "She's mine! She's mine! Leave her alone! She's mine!" It was like the weirdest thing. And he ran over and hit it again. It was like almost one thing I was supposed to be told. "Leave this girl alone." So my buddy starts taking him into the other room. And just before he does, I kind of hugging him. I'm trying to calm him down. I say, "Hey, what's the matter?" He says, "I don't know." You see, the devil's afoot. And God is a very present help in time of need. Doorbells will ring. Money will come at the right time. Things will work out. Things will happen. I had a fellow once, he was giving me grief in our church in Pennsylvania. And I was really vexed and I had been hurt. And it kind of came into bitterness. And I had to just say, "God, I just give them to you. Whatever, you know, you want me to go through." Tears. I mean, it was that critical moment where you just, "Okay, God, I'm going to take this. I'm going to be willing for this." And as soon as I gave the Lord that person, I got a phone call. And the phone call was from that person saying, "We're going to be moving." And then another one beeped in. And the other one was the phone call from a lady we were trying to buy land from. "Yes, I'll give you that land. I'll give you 6 acres of land for $35,000. As soon as I gave God my heart, He gave me His help. $35,000 for prime land where we were was amazing. She was practically donating it. God is in the details of our lives, and He shows up. When you are praying, you can be assured He hears you. He may not answer in your timetable, but in this case, all those people are praying. He's praying down in the recesses, that corner of his heart where he's in there and it's all quiet and it's just him. And the angel of the Lord shows up. He's standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And later he's going to say, "I stand in the presence of God." Now think about that. Some of us are old enough to remember overhead projectors. If you took two pictures of the same thing on an overhead transparency and put them on top of each other, you wouldn't know they were there but one. You see, the shadow is what Zacharias was in. Gabriel was in the true.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.